Today on Real Radio.
Do you think her life was just perfect every day? And the, you know, God ordained a robin to land outside her door and be singing by waking her up in the morning, and then she's walking and it's raining all around, but where Ruth is walking? I don't think so. The Bible says that the rain falls on the just and on the unjust.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the Old Testament narrative of Ruth. We're in chapter 2, which includes the fascinating account of how Ruth and Boaz meet. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Living and Loving by His Hands.
This adds to the innocence of who Ruth is. She wasn't out in the field going, oh man, there's the guy that can redeem my whole family and marry me, and he's got bucks. I hope he takes notice of me. No, she didn't do that. She didn't even know that. She stands there wide-eyed and blessed, and she says, oh, and his name was Boaz. Funny name, huh? And Naomi goes, blessed be he of the Lord. Oh, my. Well, what's the big deal, Mom? He's the next in line of relative for us to be redeemed. That's what she's saying. He's got the power to take us out of our poverty. So does Jesus Christ. He's got the one to redeem us from our condition. So does Jesus Christ. He's got the one that is able to marry you, Ruth. So does Jesus Christ. Naomi's bugged out, happy, joyful, blessed, 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 blessed. Ruth is standing there kind of shocked and overwhelmed and surprised. Listen, the goodness, the good hand of God overrules our troubles, and in verse 20, we know that the goodness of God can overrule our hearts. Naomi had gone from bitterness to blessing. The Bible says that if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Isn't that a great verse? I'll say it again. It's 1 John 3:20. If our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. You ever feel condemned? You ever feel like God hasn't spoken to you in a while? You ever feel dry? And you search and you ask God, God, why do I feel condemned? Why do I feel this way? Listen, first of all, God doesn't speak back to you about something wrong. Then don't bug him. He's very able to tell you about what's wrong. Have you noticed that? I don't think God's speaking to me. Well, do something wrong. You'll hear him loud and clear. If our heart's condemning of us, God is greater than our hearts. He knows everything. Naomi is changed. The goodness of God overrules her heart. Through all of these blessings, the Lord is working in her life. What I like also is that when she says in verse 20 that it is the Lord who has not forsaken his, you see in your Bible, it should be capital H-I-S, his. That's the Lord, Yahweh. L-O-R-D. The Lord has not forsaken his kindness, the kindness that the Lord gives, both, look, to the living, that's us, and the dead, that's my deceased father, husband, and your, Ruth, deceased husband, my son. God has not forgotten to honor their lives in blessing us who are alive, even though they be dead. The Lord does not forget. The Lord cares. And she's very excited about all this. We should be too. The Lord will never forget our labor. The Lord will never forget our condition. He'll never forget the place that we're at. And so Naomi breaks out into praise, and it's a beautiful thing. But here in verse 20 is released to us this fantastic thing about the kinsman redeemer, the Goel, the near relative. That's why Jesus Christ came to be a man. Because of this verse here, to be our Goel, the one that buys us back. Did you know, that I guess God could have done anything he wanted, but God also abides by his own word. The Bible says in Psalm 138 that he esteems his word even above his own name. That's interesting, because his name can be duplicated, can it? His name can be, there can be imposters that use his name. Paul the Apostle said there will be those coming in the last day that use the name of Jesus. Well, his name can be counterfeited, but his word can never be counterfeited. Cults can try, but they can't do that. So God says, I esteem my word above my own name. And it's by the word of God that he has made us these great and precious promises, and he will not forsake us. The things that he has spoken to us, he'll be true about them. The Bible tells us that unto us has been given great and exceedingly wonderful promises from the Lord. Great promises. He doesn't break them. He'll stick to them. But what about us? Are we like Ruth today? Or are we like Naomi today? Are we in a barren place? Are we in a blessed place? You know, if you're a Christian and you know that your name is written down in heaven, and you should know that, says the Bible, you can have joy. And whatever bitterness you're struggling with can be converted to blessings. But God overrules our hearts if we'll just let him. But it says right here that he has not forsaken both the living and the dead. And that's good news. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, the scripture says, and they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. That's that community of the Christian life. God doesn't forget, and God wants us to stay together and keep us together as believers, to fellowship together. There are those who will say, you know what, I don't need to go to church. I'm okay, I believe. And you know, maybe you do believe. And you don't need to go to church to be more saved or to be more of a Christian. But you do need to go to church to obey the word of God. Isn't that something? You're obeying God's word by being here today. Why, because I'm paying my dues and I'm putting in my time? No, I hope you don't look at it like that. Hopefully it changes your heart and your life by the going forth of the word. And so, the goodness of God overrules our hearts. It's an exciting thing to see, and it happens in our lives. The third thing is that the goodness of God can overrule all others. In verses 21 to 22, look what happens here. Then Ruth, the Moabitess, said, he also said to me. So Ruth's giving more now a report of what's transpired. You shall stay close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest. And by the way, all of his harvest was a big deal, because it started with a barley harvest and it ended with the wheat harvest. We're talking months. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, this is good. It's good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women and that the people do not meet you in any other field. Well, listen, God's goodness overrules all others. That is all other things and all other people and all others, period. Watch this. In verse 21, when it says that Ruth the Moabite has said to her, that he said, that I shall stay close throughout the harvest time, that is a promise that from the moment they met, which remember was this day that we're reading, the moment that they met all the way through to the end of the harvest, you're to stay close by my people and by my fields. Don't go to another field. Just stay. And you would say, well, why does Naomi tell this wise young girl who's bringing home all the blessings? Now listen, girl, stay next to his people as he has said. Yes, that's true. You do that. And also, don't go to another field. Well, don't you think that's like a given? Gee, why should she go to some other field? Is this one of those parental things where the mother, Naomi, says to the young girl, Ruth, some stupid thing like we often say? Do you want a spanking? Oh, yeah, Mom. I was just thinking about how I'd really like to have one. That's insane. Is Naomi looking at Ruth and saying, now stay close to his girls and don't go to another field? Why is she saying it? I think she's saying it because, you know what? Ruth is, first of all, 18 to 25 years of age. She hasn't experienced all that Naomi has, nor Boaz. Could it be the mother looking at her and saying to her, listen, sweetheart, this is a good thing. This is good. you stay in the field that he's provided. The reason why she said it, people, is the reason why we have to say it to people today, and people need to say it to us, because there is a bizarre thing inside of our heads. Why is this? Don't you want to take it out and throw it away? And that is, we'll be so blessed by God. Oh, this is, oh, God's being so good. And in the midst of all, we've got blessings all over us, and what do? We wander into some other stupid field. We're all happy. God's blessing. All things are so great. Praise the Lord. And you know what? We take our eyes off of Christ. We take our eyes off his field, and we look over there across the street. What's going on over there? I hear a lot of noise. They're just doing the world's thing. Sounds like they're having fun. And you wander over to the fence, and you're looking over. The Bible calls that backsliding. Well, I haven't left the field yet. Your body hasn't left the field. Your heart has left the field. Oh, why should I be a Christian? Because he loves you. He died for you. Buddha didn't die for you. Muhammad didn't die for you. The Bible wrote in advance, Jesus will come. Watch for him. He'll be born in Bethlehem. He'll live this life. He'll do these things. He'll die on a cross. He's the one. Watch him. Watch for him. Look for him. The Bible tells us in advance, and we mentioned last week, Jesus says, you drink of the water I give, and you eat of the bread that I give, and your life will be complete and be filled. Howard Hughes never knew that. And all of his wealth, he never knew that. But you don't have to be rich to miss it. You can be poor and miss it. Don't go to another field. There's just a painful life that awaits you. Stay, she says to Ruth, stay in the field. And, you know, I'm sure Ruth didn't do this. She was too excellent of a woman. But she didn't say, brother, what do you think, I'm stupid? And what about Boaz? Boaz says, you can stay from the barley harvest all the way through to the end of the wheat harvest. That's from April to early July. Why didn't he just give her his American Express card? He loved her. Why didn't he say, oh, sweetheart, you don't have to chum with all those others. You can sit in the palace. He didn't do that either. Why didn't he do that? I don't know. I'm going to make this part up now, so watch out. Boaz and Naomi could have been looking at Ruth through a couple vantage points or different angles. Listen, Naomi had never seen Ruth in this situation before. She had never been in this situation before. And it's true, she was young. She was in a brand new culture of foreigners, so she didn't know how exactly this was all going to work out. For the first time on the first day, Ruth goes out to glean. Is she going to do it again? Will she continue to provide for the home of Naomi, who's old? There's a lot of questions, I think, could be in Naomi's mind. Well, what about Boaz? Was he nuts about her? He was nuts about her. Did he love her? He loved her. Did he show kindness and grace? He sure did. Well, then why didn't he just make her life so easy? Because you know what? An easy life has no character of life. It has no depth. And I don't want this to sound mean, but it's possible that Boaz, who in falling in love with this woman, and Naomi, who already loves her, it's possible that they look at her and they watch that over this time, given this invitation by Boaz, time will tell. You know what I'm saying? Time will tell. Time will tell if Ruth is going to walk with her newfound faith in God. Time will tell if she's going to go to the fields. How often? Once a week? 3 days a week? What's implied is Boaz invited her every day to the fields. Did Ruth go every day? Did she disciple herself in the ways of the Lord? Did she obey both the exhortation of Naomi and the invitation of Boaz? Did she continue in doing what was right? Or did she say, oh, come on, Mom, back off. He's nuts about me. I think he'll just send food here. No, she didn't do that. But wouldn't you like to know if you were Boaz, if that attitude was in her anyway? You'd want to know. Listen, God overrules even the times and the seasons, people. You going through something? Bit of dry time, difficult time? You think God's left you? Seasons change. Time goes by. It's over the long haul that we are proven and tried as Christians. God knows it all. We're not going to surprise him. But what about you? What about me? Am I going to endure to the end? Am I going to endure as a pastor or a Christian to the end? Well, you might ask that question. And I am equally justified to come back to you and say, are you going to endure to the end as a Christian? I have heard in my ears people say, Jack, I want you to know I'm renouncing Christ. But will that come from your lips? Will it come from Ruth? Does Boaz know that or not? I don't know. Again, I told you, I'm making this part up. But several months went by. And what's implied is she got up every day and she went to work, even though she had it good, and she came home. Look at verse 23. It says, so she stayed close by the young women of Boaz to glean. Not to party, not to play, to glean. Until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest, and she dwelt. See that word dwelt? It means she went home to Naomi every day. She didn't go hang out at Boaz's place. Oh, I thought I'd bring you these Twinkies and flirt around. No, she went home every day. She's a godly woman. She has integrity. She went home to her old and precious mother-in-law. And Boaz watched. And do you think, you know, remember last week and even the week before that, we were going through verse by verse, almost word by word, of their meeting and of their romance there in the field. That was one day, a matter of hours. She went back to the fields at his invitation. Do you think that they never spoke again from that time on? Are you kidding? Boaz set up a fax machine out in the field. He got his office moved out there with an umbrella underneath that he was going to be with his girl. Time goes on. You need to remember this next week because chapter 3 jumps into some pretty heavy-duty stuff. Time goes. Seasons pass. And the Lord is over even the seasons of our hearts and of our lives. You may go from season to season. And even now, as I've mentioned before, you may be experiencing a very parched time. You may feel like if interviewed, you would have to say, my Christianity is like being in Death Valley right now. I can't see anything. I can't feel anything. I feel dead. You know, I have found out in my life that God is in those moments tremendously. He's testing my faith, not my feelings. And then you say, God, are you there? There? Oh, man. You ever see the Grand Canyon? It's a big hole. You ever feel like that? It's a big hole sometimes. It's a season. It will pass. Are you like Ruth right now? The waterfall's just coming down. It's like, man, this is great. You know what? I want to get you to think that from the barley harvest to the wheat harvest, what happened with Ruth? Can somebody tell me what happened with her? She went every day. She gleaned and she came home. But what else happened? We don't know. In months' time working, is it recorded in the scripture that she fell over a rock and skinned up her knee? Doesn't say, does it? We don't know what happened. Did she reach down to pick up a bushel and get bit by a snake? I don't know, it doesn't say. Do you think her life was just perfect every day and the, you know, God ordained a robin to land outside her door and be singing by waking her up in the morning, and then she's walking and it's raining all around but where Ruth is walking? I don't think so. The Bible says that the rain falls on the just and on the unjust. But that verse also goes on to say that God reaps a harvest, both of the early and the latter rain. The barley harvest in the spring, and at the end of summer, the wheat. Seasons come and seasons go. What about the reapers? What about the Christian? What about the gleaners? That's us. You're going to experience highs and lows in your Christian life. What blesses me is what's not written about Ruth. It wasn't important if she stubbed her toe and skinned up her knee. I bet you those things happened. But she hung in the field. She didn't say, you know what? I can't believe this. I'm following the God of the Bible. I just skinned my knee. stupid rock. Fell right over that thing. That's it. I'm giving up on God. She doesn't do that. It says that she stayed. And I want to encourage you to stay next to him. Stay close to him. He wants to stay close to you. He doesn't want you to wander. And look, that grass on the other side of the fence might look really good. Satan's been out there airbrushing it, making it look perfect, putting little glitzy things in the path. Come here, you know, those big fingers with neon lights saying, eat here. And your heart says, hey, maybe I ought to go over. And you hear the voice of God say, no, stay in my field. Temptations will come. Doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, they will come. What will you do? See, verses 18 to 23 is all about following God for Naomi and for Ruth. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 20, the scripture says there that the harvest is past and the summer is ended and you're not saved. Isn't that a great verse? The harvest is past and the summer is ended and you're not saved. Why is it that throughout Christian history, God has always had a reaper of souls? You go back to the very beginning and you see and you hear of people like Peter and Paul, James and John. And then you hear of, according to church history, Thomas going into Africa. And then from that on, you hear of great reapers of souls throughout church history. They're there. And in most recent history for us, why is it that God has provided for his reaping men like Charles Spurgeon and George Whitefield and the Wesleys? Why has God always produced Dwight L. Moody's? God has always provided a reaper. Why? Because you know what? I think we've come through the barley harvest. I think we've come through the wheat harvest. I think what you and I are right now at this time of our lives prophetically, and I think the book of Ruth 2:23 speaks about it for us in a symbolic way. You and I are living at a time that we are the gleaners now. We are passing through an age that it's almost globally a post-Christian world. And you and I are gleaners, the last ones that pass through the field that has been harvested. For 2,000 years, Jesus says, you pray that the Lord would send forth those to labor in the harvest.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a look at Ruth chapter 2 and verses 18 through 23. It's a presentation taken from this message called Living and Loving by His Hands. Now, we do have a featured product on audio CD called Ruth and Boaz Falling in Love God's Way. The $10 investment is a wise one, especially if you're seeking guidance in this area. Ruth and Boaz Falling in Love God's Way. You can order by telephone, you can write us, or you can just visit us at realradioactive.org. realradioactive.org. To get in touch with us here by telephone, our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or, for the cost of a stamp, write us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.